going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, a couple of predictions for the Washington draft. I'm going to go through the corners, and then Max and I are going to make our predictions this hour. Chris and Craig will jump on with us at about 11:40. So I talked about some of the bold predictions on the NFL draft. Two of them were bold. Only one quarterback goes in the first round. That may be a reach, but the over-under is 2.5, so if it's just Cam Ward, that would be a surprise to the odds makers anyway. I just don't see the other guys as starters. Will somebody that hasn't mattered in the past? Remember, in 2022, we got the Kenny Pickett as the only player, and no quarterback went until the third round after that. Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, etc. Sam Howell went in the fifth round. There are precedents for people saying, don't love the quarterbacks. Don't see it. Because Malik Willis that year and even Desmond Ridder, they were getting first-round looks. Remember, Sam Howell the year before was a projected first-round pick. I just don't like the quarterbacks other than Cam Ward. I am a Cam Ward fan. Not everybody is. A lot of people I've heard say that he would have been the seventh quarterback taken in the first round last year after Bo Nix. I think he would have been the sixth or the fifth in last year's draft. But I like Cam Ward. I think Tennessee's got a shot. You never know. These are, not necessarily coin flips, but actually less than coin flip, discussions when it comes to drafted players. I said that Tet McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, would not be the first receiver taken in the draft. Taking Travis Hunter out of the conversation, I think somebody like Matt Golden or even Luther Burden could get picked before him. And the other bold NFL prediction was that the Bengals take a pass rusher at 17 and then they trade Trey Hendrickson for a second and a third rounder to New England. So I think their price will come down a bit. What does that mean for Washington? It means they might have a shot. The problem is New England's got more dry powder in terms of picks. They've got a second, they've got 2 third rounders. Now, the Bengals might prefer to trade Trey Hendrickson to an NFC team, but I think trading Hendrickson to New England in the AFC East for a second and a third makes sense. If they end up taking a pass rusher, somebody like Mike Green makes sense to me. Green's going to be an interesting guy tonight, as will Pierce out of Tennessee because of the red flag character issues. If you start to see Mike Green fall much beyond, say, Cincinnati at 17, they've learned something about him that isn't good. And then you're talking about teams, hoping at the end that they get the talent and not the other stuff with it. I think Pierce is off some lists here. I'd be surprised if Washington took him. All right, here are three predictions related specifically to Washington's draft. So my first prediction is this. Because I predicted only one quarterback would be taken in the first round, that means nobody's trading into the end of the first round to take a quarterback. So the first prediction, and it's not bold, I understand that, Washington's not going to trade back. They're not going to be able to trade back. I still think that's the best case scenario for Washington tonight because, in you know, who did we have on the show that also mentioned this? But I talked about this a little bit over the last week, that this draft is very, very top heavy, maybe, with Carter, with, you know, Travis Hunter, with Will Campbell. But after that, you know, picks 5 through 60, there's going to be a lot of, you know, mocks that are just off because there's not a lot of difference between these players. So it would be better for Washington to trade back, pick up an early second, maybe, you know, something else in the third or fourth round and take more players in a draft like this. But my first Washington draft prediction of the for tonight is that they won't trade back. They'll end up taking a player at 29. My second Washington prediction is that the only pass rusher, the only edge defensive end that they will select, if he's there, is Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College. He's the one that I think they really like. I mentioned earlier in the week when we talked about some of the defensive ends and edges that he is a pass rusher only right now. At 245, 250, he's not an edge-setting run stopper. I'm not saying that he can't develop into that because he's a smart kid. He's athletic as hell. But as a pass rusher, he's dynamic. And he's got quick twitch. People have called him Gumby because of his bendability. He is a pass rusher. And I think if Washington is on the clock and he is still available, that will be the pick. And by the way, when I say he's the only edge rusher defensive end they would take, that is based on the players that are projected to potentially be there at 29. Okay, Abdul Carter is not going to be there at 29. I'm not counting him. All right, so of the projected mid to late first round guys, if they were to fall to 29, and let's just say, you know, there's a group of guys at 29 in this draft that are edge rushers that include Ezeraco and maybe a Shamar Stewart, maybe a Pierce Jr., that's the one they'll take. If he's not there, they don't take an edge or a defensive end at 29. Okay, so that's prediction number two, that Ezeraco is the only guy at that position that they will take at 29. Again, not including some of the great players at that position that will go earlier, much earlier. And then the third is this, because it dovetails off of number two. They're not going to take an edge defensive end because Ezeraco won't be there at 29. He will be gone. He will go to somebody else. Maybe Cincinnati at 17 if Mike Green's off the board. So I see Washington taking tonight, because Ezeraco will be off the board, a corner or an offensive lineman. I don't see them taking an edge defensive end at 29. That's the third prediction. Again, it's because of the Boston College pass rusher, I think, won't be there. I'm saying corner or offensive lineman because I think that it's very possible that that would be a BPA, a best player available situation for them. I think there will be corners there at 29 that make sense, you know, if you're following the draft, that a best player available would be, and we'll get into the corners here shortly, would be a corner. It's possible an offensive lineman. I don't see Tyler Booker dropping to 29, but if he did, I think they would run to the podium with the pick. You know, I've mentioned some of the other edge defensive ends that I really like, but they're mostly guys projected second round, like a JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State. That dude, if they took him at 29, I'd actually be really excited about the player. I just think that they, if they love him, they might think they can get him in the second round and that he wouldn't be best player available. A corner or an offensive lineman might be. You know, a Landon Jackson from Arkansas, from that position. But again, I think if it's not Ezeraku, it's something else other than edge defensive end. And let me just mention, I don't think it's impossible that Washington selects Trevion Henderson from Ohio State, the running back. For me, I don't think a running back other than Jenty in the first round is good value, but there is something special about Henderson as a player. He's got the best home run potential of the running backs in the draft. He's also apparently top shelf as a player, smart, great teammate, etc. And there is something attractive about envisioning Trevion Henderson standing up next to Jaden Daniels in the pistol or in the shotgun or directly behind him in the pistol. Like, you know, zone reads, draws, screens. This guy is a guy that every time he's in the game, it could go from the 20 to the end zone easily. I would prefer Henderson. If you told me they take a running back in the first round, I would hope that it was Henderson more than it was Hampton. That's just me. Egbuka from Ohio State is a wide receiver that a lot of people have mocked to Washington at 29. I don't think they're taking a wide receiver at 29. I think they actually like their receivers right now. You know, I think they brought Noah Brown back. I think they, you know, obviously added Debo. They've got Terry. They've got, you know, a guy like Luke McCaffrey, who, by the way, got open when he played last year. And he got a lot of snaps, which tells you that they liked him last year. Even though the production wasn't there, it wasn't necessarily his fault. The quarterback just didn't go in his direction. Egbuka, to me, is going to be a really solid number two receiver in the NFL. Nothing wrong with that. But I think at 29, given where they are, they should be looking to get a player, to land a player that has big-time upside, like star upside. I mean, Ezeraku has star pass-rushing ability. So, you know, there's some corners potentially at 29 that have real high, you know, ceilings. Egbuka's got a high floor. He's not Smith Najigba. Smith Najigba was a better prospect. The truth is, he's probably just a slightly better prospect than Terry was, and Terry went in the third round. I shouldn't say that. Egbuka as a prospect is a better prospect than Terry. His production at Ohio State is unbelievable, you know, until Jeremiah Smith breaks all of his records. But I always get, with Ohio State offensive skill position players, just a little bit concerned because everybody's always open, and there's always a lot of green grass to run to. Let me just also mention tight end, because a guy like Mason Taylor, Jaden's teammate at LSU for 2 years, more and more you're seeing Mason Taylor mocked into the late first round. I've seen him mocked to Philadelphia now a couple of times, because Goddard is 30-plus and is in his last year of the deal, I think. Could Mason Taylor be a pick? It would tell you what they think of Sinnott to a certain degree, right? But could he be the best player available on their board at 29? He might be. But I think more likely than not, it's a Hairston from Kentucky, a Barron from Texas, more on him coming up, a Josh Connerly from Oregon, a Donovan Jackson from Ohio State, that ends up being, you know, more likely than not available to them if the pick isn't Boston College edge defensive end Donovan Ezeraco. All right, so those are the three predictions. They're not going to trade back. The only edge rusher of the group that might fall to them would be the BC defensive end Ezeraco that they would take. Other than that, and I don't think he will be there at 29, they don't take an edge defensive end. That's the third prediction. And that it ends up being a corner or an offensive lineman at 29. Henderson wouldn't shock me. Egbuka would. Mason Taylor wouldn't shock me. But I bet if it's not the BC defensive end, it ends up being a corner or an offensive lineman at 29. All right, real quickly, because I've done running backs, defensive end, edges, and yesterday focused on wide receivers. So the corners in this draft, there is a corner I absolutely love who's not a projected first-round pick. More on him in a moment. Will Hunter, to me, is the best corner in this draft in terms of just being a guy that's going to play corner, because Travis Hunter, we don't know what he's going to play. He might play both. I think that, you know, for him, playing wide receiver makes the most sense in terms of his financial earnings potential. Will Johnson, Michigan, is an absolute baller. To me, the best corner in the draft. And, yeah, there were injuries. He's not going to be available to Washington. There's no chance he makes it past the top half of this draft. After that, I do like Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky. He ran a 4.28 at the Combine. I kind of like Trey Amos from Ole Miss. Ravel from East Carolina is kind of freakish, too. He's been mocked to Washington, I've seen a couple of times. But the two guys that actually, Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame I like a lot. And he just seems like a Washington pick. He's just had some real injuries here. This guy, unfortunately, has had surgeries on shoulder and I think hip, which disrupted his junior season. So I love Benjamin Morrison, though, from Notre Dame. Like, he is a really good player. And by the way, you know, cut straight from the Washington, you know, cloth, in that this is a loyal teammate, a team captain. Like, everybody loves him. He's super smart, the whole thing. But the two guys that I really like a lot, I like Barron from Texas, and then I really like Darian Porter from Iowa State, who is a projected night two pick or maybe even a day three pick. That makes no sense to me. First on Barron from Texas, this dude is so smart, so versatile, led the SEC in interceptions, led the SEC in defended passes, won the Jim Thorpe Award as the nation's top defensive back. He's incredibly high IQ as a player. The one thing you would say about him, because he plays every position all over the field. I mean, he plays in the slot. He plays on the outside. He'll play safety for you if you need him to play safety. The one thing, play special teams. The one thing that you would say about him is that he's not that big. You know, he's like 5'10", 5'9", 190, something like that. Doesn't have super long arms, which you like to see in corners. But he runs. He ran sub 440, 4.4, and it shows up on the field. I think that this guy, because of his IQ and his versatility, is a real possibility if he's there at 29. And then the guy, kind of like I mentioned, Kyle Williams is the receiver that I kind of fell in love with from Washington State. This guy, I had a friend of mine just text me. He said, just spend a little bit of time watching Darian Porter from Iowa State. He started one season at Iowa State and only 8 games as a corner. You have to wonder, well, what took him so long to put this dude in the game as a cornerback? So there's that. He wears number 10. If you look up his highlights, he is 6'3". He is long-armed. He ran 4.3-something at the 40. He has great feel and timing, you know, along with the speed and the height and the length. I mean, he can smother receivers. It's a rare combination of height, speed, and long arms. And by the way, aggressive, decisive play in zone or man. I don't really even know what the downsides would be to him, other than he didn't play much. Why wasn't he playing? I don't really understand that necessarily. As a starter, he was playing a lot, but as a starter, it's just 1 year starter as a corner, and I think it was really only like 8 of the games, even though he played in games, you know, played all over and played special teams. He was more of a special teams player. This is another reason I could see them really liking Darian Porter. But the dude is like physically like so tall and long and aggressive and smart. he's like, you know, I guess the other knock on him, you know, and I wrote this down in my notes, is that he's 24 going on 25. Okay. I don't mind that with quarterbacks, by the way. Like, you know, quarterbacks play until they're, you know, they don't hit their stride until their mid-30s sometimes or early 30s. So maybe you, you know, would like to have a guy for 10 years and he's not a guy who's going to turn 25 years old that you're going to have for 10 years. But, man, he just looks ready to play now. Oh, the other thing, too, special teams-wise, because he plays a lot of special teams. He had 5 blocked kicks during his college career. 4 punts and a field goal. He'll be all over the field as a special teamer, and I think he looks like a starting corner in the NFL. He does to me, anyway. Again, why didn't he play until this last year? Why didn't he play until he became 24 years old? I don't know. But the tape is one of those where it's like, this guy should be picked a lot higher than the end of the 3rd round or the 4th round. So there you go on the corners. Will Johnson, I think, is the star of this class. But I think guys like Hairston and Amos and Revelle and Barron are possibilities for Washington, especially if a guy like Ezeraku is not there. All right, we'll come back. Max and I will make our Washington 1st round prediction for tonight's draft. Chris and Craig will jump on with us after that. We'll get their predictions. They will be draft heavy all day as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the Team980.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, time to give our predictions for the draft tonight. Washington on the clock at 29 currently. Will they stay there? And who will they pick? Max is going to make his pick first. Then I will do it. Then Chris and Craig will jump on and we'll talk draft and they'll give their predictions as well. So, Max, go ahead. I know you've given a lot of thought to this. You've studied it very hard. What are they going to do tonight at 29? Or will they stay at 29?
See, that's the thing. I'm going to just keep banking on Joe Shane and the Giants just being dumb. I really think Adam Peters has shown he hasn't been afraid to trade with teams in division. So I really could see the Giants taking Abdul Carter at 3 and then wanting to get back into the 1st round to have a little bit more control. I think they will trade back with the Giants, and the Giants will probably take Jackson Dart or Tyler Shuck with that 29th pick.
Okay. But you got to have a pick now for the Giants at, what, 34?
Yes. So
is that where it is, 34?
Yes, I believe so. Let me quickly check Tankathon. Yes, 34. Yeah. So that is where it gets a little tricky. I'm not sure who's going to be there. I like Ezeraku, but I don't think he'll be there in the 2nd round. Hairston might be there. So that's if he's there in the top of the 2nd, I would love Maxwell Hairston to be Washington Commander because he's so fast. That would set up our corner room for the next, 2-3 seasons. I think they would be much better off with Maxwell Hairston in that room.
So you got a corner, Maxwell Hairston.
Maxwell Hairston. Max is picking Max.
Dude just could fly. I like him as a corner. So I think they're going to pick at 29 for the reasons that I've stated. I also think it would be interesting if the Giants called Washington to trade. Would Washington give them a quarterback that they wanted in the first round? I don't think they should worry about it, honestly.
Yeah.
It's not because I think Joe Shane's an idiot. I still think that the Saquon Barkley thing is such an interesting conversation because it was perfect for him in Philadelphia, but would it have been perfect for him on that team in New York? Maybe not. Anyway, that's digressing from the topic at hand. So, look, I see a first round that ends up, seeing a lot of the possibilities of edge pass rusher gone. Like, it will not shock me at all if Donovan Azaruco, the edge rusher from Boston College, goes as high as, say, 17 to Cincinnati. And then watching, other guys come off the board well in advance of Washington selecting at 29. Any of those guys, Mikel Williams, any of the guys that might be possibilities, I think they're all gone at that point. And I think Washington has to settle for a corner or an offensive lineman. When I say settle, I don't mean settle. I just think that will be the position group that will be the best player available on the board. I don't think there are going to be offers from, a Cleveland or a Giants to come back into the first round, or even a Pittsburgh or a New Orleans if they don't take a quarterback in the first round. I think they make the pick at 29. I hope, by the way, you're right. And by the way, if they got to trade back and still got Maxwell Hairston, that'd be awesome. What'd you say?
Be a coup.
Yeah. Let me just tell you that if Tyler Booker, the guard, is available at 29, that's who they're going to take. But I think he'll be gone. I don't see them taking Hampton. I could see them taking Henderson. But by the way, it's possible that both of those guys are gone by the time Washington picks. Seriously. So I come down to who do I think would be the player that they have fallen in love with and at the same time, talent-wise, would be the best player available on their board at 29. This might be a reach to expect him to be on the board at 29. But I think number 7, the corner from Texas, Zade Barron, is the pick at 29. This guy meets all of the Washington, kind of requirements. He is a really good player. He is a super smart player. He's very, very versatile. All that gets talked about Barron when they discuss him is his football IQ, which is one of the reasons he's able to play a lot of different positions. I think he's more of an outside corner than he is an inside corner, but he's played all over the place. He's played in a lot of zone-heavy schemes, for sure, but he's played corner, outside, inside. He's played safety, in-the-box safety. This guy is such a versatile player, and he's a playmaker. Led the SEC in interceptions, led the SEC in passes defended, had big-time games. Look, they had some big games. Texas did on the schedule this year, right? They played Georgia early in the year. In that game, he had 2 interceptions in that game against Georgia and Carson Beck. Just all over the field. They ended up losing that game, if you recall, that big Saturday night game back in October. He played exceptionally well in their SEC championship win, loss to Georgia in overtime. Remember that game in the rematch? Had an interception in that game. Led the team or was close to leading the team in tackles in their playoff win over Arizona State. This guy lacks some of the athletic stuff. That's the thing that you have to wonder about Barron from Texas, is he's barely 5'11", he's barely 190 pounds, he doesn't have long arms. In fact, he's got shorter arms, but what makes up for it is his incredible IQ, his anticipation, his ability to kind of read the situation. He's always around the ball. Like, he had a fumble return in that game against Georgia. He's picked up block punts. He plays special teams. I think that he's the guy that he might look there. I've seen him mocked as high as to the Jets in the top 10. But assuming Ezeraku isn't there, because I think he would be the pick, I'm going with Jahdae Barron, corner, Texas, at 29. I'd be thrilled with the pick. You know, and it would be a best player available because, you know, they have Marshawn Lattimore. They've got Sanders still. They brought back Noah Igbinoghu. They added Jonathan Jones. But I think if the pass rusher edge that they want isn't there, it's corner or offensive lineman. And I think Barron would be the best player on their board if he's there at 29. That's my prediction. You've got a corner. I've got a corner. I hope, by the way, that it would not be an indication that they are concerned about Marshawn Lattimore.
You would hope.
Craig Hoffman, Chris Russell, my 980 cohorts will join me next. We'll talk draft, and we'll get their predictions on what Washington does tonight when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, last night, Logan Thompson led the Washington Capitals to a 3-1 victory over Montreal to take a 2-0 series lead. He posted a 9.62 save percentage, saving all 14 shots faced in the third period. Connor McMichael had two goals, and Stromer with the game winner to put the Caps up 2-1 in the second. Series will continue in Montreal. They will drop the puck tomorrow night, pregame at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. Nats got off to a hot start last night with three runs in the first inning. James Wood hit a 431-foot rocket to right center, quickly followed by a Josh Bell two-run bomb. They win 4-3. They're going for the sweep tonight on 106.7 The Fan. And tonight is the night the NFL draft is upon us. Coverage will begin on the Team 980, starting with Craig Hoffman at 4 p.m. for his NFL draft special. Then Toby Altizer and Linnell Willingham will take you all the way up to 1 a.m. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Coverage all day here on the Team 980, leading up to Linnell and Toby's draft show from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Craig's going to take his show all the way up until 8 o'clock. Chris is on after me, and both of those gentlemen join me right now. It is one of those days where it's just interesting to see what everybody's thinking on draft day. It's different, guys, from it was a year ago when we pretty much knew at this point who it was going to be. Which actually is where I'll start. Don't you think that this draft, given that they're taking the latest they've ever taken with their own pick ever in franchise history, because the last time they were this good, there were only 28 teams in the league. But don't you think in preparation for your shows to be able to talk draft even somewhat fluently, it is just so much deeper and more difficult because there are so many possibilities? Craig, you go first.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been way, way more difficult. Last year, I mean, really, we knew pretty early Jaden was probably the pick, but you just had to be prepared on Drake May, you know, J.J. McCarthy. You know, is there maybe one or two other guys that could come into it? Sure, but it was basically if you had a good file on those people, you were set. This year, I keep seeing new names. Now, like, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, let me go look at Jahdae Barron a little bit more, because in his mock draft last night, Daniel Jeremiah's got Jahdae Barron falling all the way down.
Oh, really?
To 29.
Jeremiah had him?
Yeah.
Because that was my pick.
Yeah, like, I could see that. I'm trying to think of some of the other guys that, like, this week, you know, Omarion Hampton, like, could he be available? So there's kind of the non positions that we've talked about, also different guys at the edge spot. Like, I got to know seven different edges because all of them could be available. And it's not just Washington picking the slate. It is the contour of this draft class, and it's made it very difficult, but also very fun in its own way.
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, I think you know the hardest part for me, just me. Well, I think we all identify edge pass rusher as probably the top need, right? I think that's pretty commonly known. But what isn't known is A, how much of a desire they have to trade back. B, is there going to be a pool of three or four of those seven or eight candidates that Hoffman was just talking about that are there so that it makes sense to trade back? Or do you feel like, okay, I've got to go now because a guy might not be there if, say, I drop, I don't know, 33, 34, or even 40 with New Orleans, which is a scenario that I floated the other day on the show. So I think that has made it hard for me. And then on, in addition to that, okay, do they decide to go running back? Do they decide to go cornerback? Do they go wide receiver? Do they go interior offensive line, which I got to be honest with you guys, I haven't spent a lot of time studying or thinking about, but now all of a sudden you're starting to hear the kid from North Dakota State and a couple of others that everybody's high on and certainly could very much be in as part of that 29 mix.
Yeah, there's so many possibilities. Let me ask both of you, what player, if that player were to drop, and I'm not talking about Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or any of the players that are clearly at the top of this draft, but who would they not pass on? What would be their dream situation tonight with a player dropping to 29 if that's where they pick?
I mean, I'll go first here. I personally, I mean, the one that jumps out for me is Ashton Jeansey, but I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah,
you discount the players that are clearly going to be gone.
Right. So I would say for me, I believe if Will Johnson from Michigan is still there, I think they have a hard time passing up. But as Craig just mentioned, Johnny Barrett from Texas, he did fall in Jeremiah's mock draft, and I was curious about that because I've seen a lot of top 10 selections about him. I mean, if they feel the same way, obviously, and they have a top 15 grade, how do you turn that down at a need position still for the future and somebody that can help you now and if you had a top 15 grade? There's no way. And then it becomes even more complicated because, again, if say that scenario happens and you have a top 15 grade on a guy and he's there at 29, do you trade down because that's the prudent thing to do, or do you just say, you know what, we can't resist the value?
I think at that point you say you can't resist the value. The problem, the thing is, though, like, you can name any player in this draft, and I would say even including Carter, Hunter, Jeansey, I can give you a reason why it's a bad idea. Like, that is this class. This class has five or six guys where that weaknesses list is very, very small, and obviously Carter, Jeansey, et cetera, it's pretty small there. But I could tell you why Malachi Starks is a great idea. I could tell you why it's a bad idea. Jahdae Barron. Like, you pick your guy, Matthew Golden. I talked to someone within the last week that's like, when I saw him during the year, I thought he was a third, fourth round guy. You have other people that think he's the best receiver in this class. The valuations are so different that I could tell you certainly, Will Johnson was the first name that came to mind for me as well, and I do think he could be available, which a week ago I would have told you you're on crazy pills. But I do think that there's the foot. I think there's some other stuff. He didn't test at all. And to say other stuff, I think other injury stuff that concerns people. But at 29, like, what are you waiting for? Like, go do that. Shamar Stewart, Donovan Ezra, like, you name a guy, I can tell you why it's a great idea. I can tell you why it's a bad idea, which is kind of a cop-out answer, Kevin, but it is the truth about this draft class.
Yeah, the Will Johnson thing, if he's available, there are a couple of guys that, I'm sorry, but if they're available at 29, there is something drastically wrong. With him, it would be the injuries, clearly, that there's something, you know, of major concern. I think, like, you know, a Pierce or a Green, if Green were to fall to 29, then the due diligence has unveiled something about him that Washington would likely pass on to. That's just my guess. Because you're right. This draft, I would say 5 through 60, there are, you know, pluses and minuses, and everybody's got a different opinion on. I don't know if people have, at this point, a different opinion on the top two or three guys or four guys. I think Jeansey's in that group. But anyway, what would surprise you, Craig, you first? What would shock you if they stayed at 29 and took this player?
A quarterback? Like, outside of that, I don't have an answer. Yeah, kicker, punter, we can throw those in too. Like, it's hard, man, because I have seen so and done myself. Like, I've done like 8 or 9 mocks at this point. We got another one in the 4 o'clock hour today on our show. And I've just seen too many things fall. I would say I would be kind of surprised if there's a tackle at 29, because I think that either, like, Josh Simmons' injury stuff is bad enough that you don't want him and he's available, or the good ones are going to go. I've heard Kelvin Banks, I mean, now this is out there, like, he could go as high as six.
Right.
And I've talked to people who think, like, that's deserving. I've talked to people that think he's in the teens. I've talked to people that think he's a guard and belongs in the 20s. But I think tackle would surprise me at 29, because I just don't see how the best player on their board at 29 is a tackle worth taking. That I would say that. And by the way, I think as much as a lot of people think that Brandon Coleman should be a guard, they've said he's a tackle, and I think we should believe them.
By the way,
yeah, I mean, Banks is another name.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Sorry, Kev. No, I didn't mean to talk over. I'll go in general offensive line. I mentioned the guards earlier, and I agree with what Craig just said. I'll just give you one different that for me, I don't know if I would love, and it would kind of surprise me if he went this early, is Trevion Henderson. I understand what kind of breakaway speed he has. I understand they don't have that profile. I don't know, and Kevin and Craig, you would know better than me, I don't know if I see him as even a 15 to 18 carry type of guy, and I need somebody, me, moving forward beyond just not only this year, but with all four running backs being on the final year of each one of their deals, and certainly the top two having, I would say, significant injury concerns. I need somebody that can carry the ball more regularly than just being a third down and spot first and second down type guy, which is how I kind of view Trevion Henderson. That's not to say he can't play on first and second down. I just don't know if he's the bell cow, if you will. And I understand you don't want 3 yards in a cloud of dust bell cow anymore. I get it. But you guys know what I mean. Can he be asked to have the breakaway speed, the explosiveness, the pass catching ability, pass pro, and also carry the ball, say, 15 to 17 times with a bunch of those carries coming between the tackles?
Pass pro, yes, and everything else, yes. But I agree with you. I don't think he's a 20-plus carry a back game. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, I think that he is a really, really high-end version of a piece that's really, really valuable in the NFL, and specifically in this offense. But do you want a part-time starter with your first-round pick? And I would say the answer is no, especially when there is incredible depth at that position in this draft. And the other part of this that we should talk about probably more is the contract value. Like, the most expensive running back in the league is now making $15 million a year.
Yeah.
The discount you get for taking a first-round running back is not that steep compared to wide receiver, edge, quarterback, etc.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, I wanted to mention one thing real quickly, because you guys were talking about O-line would be a surprise. I don't think he'll be there, but I think if Tyler Booker dropped to 29, they would race up with that as their pick. And I've also heard in the last like 24 hours that Banks is is closing in as a close second if you consider him a guard. All right, so let's get to prediction time. I don't know if you guys have done this already on your show. I just did it. This is a bit of a reach to expect him to be available, but I went Jahdae Barron from Texas. I think the short arms, the height, there's a possibility that ends up being the reason he's available. And I don't think Ezeraku will be there at 29. And I think he would be the pick if he were there at 29. That's why I went Barron. You guys give me your pick and the logic behind it. Chris, you go first.
All right, so I guess I'm stealing a little bit from what I did for Craig on a different feature, but I'm going to go, if he's there, of course, and I don't know if he will because of how he did at the combine and all that, Shamar Stewart. I look at him as a high upside, higher ceiling type guy, really good against the run. I think sideline to sideline he can chase. I think backside pursuit was a strength that jumped out to me. I think he's still developing, still learning how to finish, and hopefully this coaching staff between Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. and Ryan Kerrigan and so on and so forth can figure out a way to unlock that next step, that next level. I love the athleticism, of course. We all know they love the athleticism, and I think he's a little bit underrated as a football player all around, as opposed to Ezeraku, who is more of a pass rusher. So I'm going to go with Shamar Stewart.
All right, Craig?
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I agree with everything Chris Russell just said. Stewart is so underrated because people think that he's just like an athlete out there running around. It's like, no, his sack production's bad, but he does a bunch of other stuff well, which is why I think there's no shot he's going to be there the more I think about it. But if he is, I think you're right, Chris. They run to the podium and take him. And then I say there's no shot he's going to be there, so let me pick someone else. I'm going to pick a guy that has been mocked in the top 10 for most of this process, but I think Will Johnson's going to fall. And I think they would have a really hard time looking at outside corner. They know the program, obviously, with Mikey being the pick last year. His character and all that stuff is really, really high. I think he gets the Commanders tag. It's just a matter of the injury. And if he falls that far, I think you can make the argument that you go, there's a reason he's fallen this far, injuries. That's a risk. But at 29, if you're getting a top 15 talent, I think you just take that risk and you do it. So I'll go Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan, which – basically, until yesterday, I would have never thought was remotely a possibility for them.
But don't you think if he fell to 20,
we didn't compare notes.
If he fell to 29, there would be it would be all about his physical health. There'd be no other reason.
Yeah, but I think you also have to. I think there's a couple factors that you have to then factor in, which is if you're a GM and a coach, you have job security. And, you know, outside of Howie Roseman, and even with Howie Roseman, the way that Lurie and the Eagles have operated sometimes, but Howie seems to be the Don there. Like, is there a coach GM combo with more job security in the NFL right now?
Wow. That sounds like a segment. Maybe you did it, but that's crazy to say. When you just said that, I'm like, oh my God, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have the most job security of any team in the NFL. That's probably not true. I would think Andy Reid and the Kansas City situation has a lot of security, but
I'd say they're tied. Like them, Howie would feel like there's a tier one and they're in it. And so if
they are now. Yeah, sure.
And especially if you take into account that this is a very patient owner. And so if you take that into account and you know you have a longer leash, I think that gives you a little bit more leeway to say, like, we're okay right now with Mikey outside, Jonathan Jones inside, and seeing what Marshawn Lattimore is and if he can regain his form. So if we need to start Will Johnson on IR or we need to slow play him as a first-round pick, at 29, we don't have as many glaring needs. We're a better team, et cetera, and we have that kind of leash. We're not getting fired in week four. We're not getting fired after next season. We're not getting fired in 2 years. So you have the ability to take a risk on a high-end player in a way that a lot of other teams do not because of their situation in the front office and on the coaching staff.
Look, I'd be all in, especially if they made the pick. I would trust it that they feel good about it. But, God, I would be shocked if he's there at 29. The Shamar Stewart thing, I talked about this, I think, earlier this week. And I had forgotten the player that that had been described this way. Of course, he's like a physical freak, but I don't think he has any feel for football. He's a straight line athlete, and it finally occurred to me as you guys were talking about him, because Cooley used to say about Perry Riley that really athletic, the whole thing, but when the action's going in one direction, he's running the other way. I'm not saying Shamar Stewart is that, but I just don't think he has the feel of a football player, which is why the production hasn't been there. I know the pressures have been there, and maybe he can get coached up to that, but I think that's one of those things that's innate. You know, spatial feel, vision, athletic feel, he just doesn't have it when I've watched him. But physical
position,
freak, which is why I don't think he'll be there
at
29.
Position,
somebody will think that his athleticism is just too tantalizing to pass on.
Yeah, just quickly, Kevin, it's a traits position, though, and that is the position that if you just want a freak athlete at, and you're like, hey, man, see that guy with the ball right there? Go get him. And
yeah, maybe.
He's disruptive.
We'll see. He couldn't get him in college.
He's disruptive in the run game, too, and I think
that's an important
thing. And in division with Jalen Hurts, you can chase Jalen Hurts, and that speed matters.
Thanks for this, guys. Appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the day. Yep. Have fun.
Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate
Craig and Chris, everybody, all day long, all night long tonight when you add in Linnell and Toby doing draft coverage. Ben Standing next.